Minister Michael Healy-Ray, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip.
I owe you a thank you and a sorry straight away. Thank you for making the journey from Killorglin to our Ballyverna studio, and sorry that in addition to all of our other woes in this place, the RTE circuits have been struck by lightning overnight.
Look, these things happen, but you can always get other ways. There's 10 different ways to skin a cat.
There is indeed. And isn't it lucky that you weren't actually in the studio when it was struck by lightning and that you arrived 8 hours after the fact? We're talking about other acts of God, though, this morning. And in the immediate wake of Storm Éowyn, forest owners needed your department to grant them felling licences to deal with all of those windblown trees. Now, you made a statement during the week about how pleased you were with the number of those licences that had been granted. Why was that?
Well, I'll tell you why, because first of all, I want to thank you, Philip, for the opportunity, because I feel it's my duty to come on a show like yours and what I would call give an account of myself and my department, if you know what I mean, because I'm answerable to the people out there that were so badly affected, and I want to give them what I would call a progress report. So first of all, I want to start off by thanking the head of forestry, Barry Delaney, and others, and all the people in the department who have been working so diligently on these matters. We really put a lot of effort into it, and I just want to give you the following update, if that's all right. Today, like this week, last week, I just want to confirm that 90% of the private and quilta harvesting capacity in the country is operating in windblow sites. So in other words, because of the fact that in one night we had 2.5 years of timber knocked to the ground, well, we've been working very hard to ensure that the farmers that were affected, that their timber is being harvested. In other words, they were given their licences. We're up on 85% of all of that ground now licensed. But what I would say to people out there, because remember, there is 15% that haven't come forward. And I would
I want to deal with them separately in our conversation, if we could, because that's a very, very important issue you just identified there. But going back to the number of licences granted in the 7 months since Storm Éowyn, it's 194 licences. Now, I asked your department yesterday how many licences they had granted in the 7 months before Storm Éowyn, and they told me that it was 1,064 licences. So the department has granted 5 times more licences before the storm than since it. You can't be pleased with that.
But of course I am, Philip, because you're missing a very important point. When I was appointed, I identified one anomaly in the whole system. That was, there are 2 licences. There is a licence to thin and there is a licence to clear fell. One of the first things that I did was I ensured that we merged those 2 licences. So in other words, once you had any type of a licence on your forestry, for instance, if you had a thinning licence, you could turn around and use that for felling. So the licences that you're speaking about, I ensured that those licences are being used now for clear felling. So your argument doesn't make sense, to be honest, because the day that the trees fell down on the ground, because of the changes that I made, without anybody applying for a licence, it already meant that 65% of those forest owners, they actually had the right to go in and start cutting that timber right away.
Okay, but of the 666 people who have applied for a licence since Storm Éowyn, how many of those have been granted?
We're turning around the licences now in 100 days, which was unprecedented before. That was never heard of. So licensing, and I really want to make this very clear too, licensing is not a problem at all. Absolutely not. People who want to go away and clear fell their timber now and get it off the ground, the licences are holding nobody up. Absolutely
well,
nobody.
Okay, hang on a second.
I'll argue this with you any day of the week. Licenses are not a problem, but I do want to identify the problem.
All right,
I want to come back to it.
There are so many problems here, but let's just stick with the licenses for one second because
In May, when we last spoke to you,
you heard from the forester Noel Kelly on the programme that week, and you were very impressed by the point that he made that how you as minister acquitted yourself on this matter would determine how much confidence people had in going into forestry in the future. Now, so I asked him this week how his own felling licence application was doing.
We applied the latter days of March. I do know they're working on it because we had an email from them last week looking for further details.
So that's 5 months, and then they came back to you at that stage looking for more detail. Did that disappoint you, or do you think under the circumstances it was to be expected?
I'm kind of pragmatic, you know, enough to know that it was nearer going to be always nearer 6 months than four. So it's okay so far.
So yes, Minister, there are licences being granted within 100 days, but there are also licences that are not being granted within that time frame.
But under the Farmers' Charter, you know it's 6 months. We're doing far less than that. We're averaging 100 days. Now, I would never go commenting on an individual case, but I just know for a fact that that case that you were just speaking about has been dealt with by Ecology and will be issued next week. Now, that's
There's good news for Noel Kelly if he's listening morning. Okay.
But I'm really, and again, I want to thank the ecologists. I want to thank the people inside the department because they're working diligently. But I want to get to a problem that you don't seem to want to talk about, right? And that is there are 15% of people, of affected forest owners, who have not come forward. Yeah. And I'm really anxious about this because talking about licensing is not an issue because the licences are holding
Absolutely. But, and do you know what, Minister? I spoke to a number of people in exactly that position who have not applied. And the reason they're not applying is because once they do, they're obliged to replant and you haven't told them what kind of support they're going to get for replanting. And their harvesting costs are up 45% and the timber value at the mills has dropped by 30%. So what was a nest egg for them is now a financial liability, and many of them are ashamed to say this, and this is why they didn't want to come on the programme this morning. They're just going to turn their backs on all of that windblown forestry and walk away from it.
No, Philip, to do that would be a financial bad mistake, and I'll tell you why. I have given an absolute assurance that there is going to be a reconstitution scheme that is being worked with as late as this week with the senior minister and senior officials in my department. We've been discussing. We're in the middle of a budgetary process. This will be all coming out in the next coming weeks with the budget and all of that. And we will actually be able to say to those people what exactly they will be getting. But the one guarantee that I have given them is that there is a reconstitution scheme going to be in place.
Okay, but so replanting is going to cost them €4,000 a hectare. And the rumours doing the rounds at the moment among foresters is that the support, the reconstitution scheme, is only going to be half that. Can you offer them a bit of clarity this morning on that?
I can give you clarity in that from the very beginning, I assured people that there would be financial support. I've visited many, many forests of where people, and they know that they're entitled to do this, they can go in, take out their timber, sell it, get the best price they can for it, and there will be money to replant it to help them.
At the moment, that's going to leave them in debt if they do that.
No, Philip, look, you have to be practical about this. What happened was unprecedented. The actions that we have taken since are very helpful. We've been very clear on this. You must remember that it's not too long ago, if you were looking for a license of any sort, you were waiting for 2 years for it. So this department has done a complete and absolute U-turn in the way that we're dealing with people, in that people are getting a good, quick, sound, fast service. And the other thing that I do want to say to you, and this is important, when it comes to selling timber, I want to again remind people to use reputable people, respectable people, because there are things that I've read in reports and that we've all heard and seem to be backed up by individuals who came forward and told their stories. where they would, what I would call, have dealt with people who didn't take care of their requirements and, in other words, left them high and dry.
And ended up in trouble down the line. Okay, good advice, good advice. Now, look, the other part of your brief was also the other sector hit worst by Storm Eowyn, polytunnel growers. I've talked to a good number of growers this week. The picture here is mixed. Yes, there are people who did receive grant funding from the department to rebuild, and they're very grateful to you for that. But I'm afraid I've also talked to growers who weren't impressed by the scheme at all. They said it was too cumbersome, too long-winded, too slow to help with getting them to produce this season. And they have told you this themselves. Do you think that they have a point?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. This happened in a hurry. We needed to get a scheme opened very quickly. So the scheme was reopened in February 25. That was in response to the storm. We had to do it quickly because these people needed to get to a situation where they could be growing again for this season. Like all schemes, these schemes are subject to terms and conditions. And there is no flexibility in a short time frame to change these. But I do want to give you the statistics. 37 eligible applications were received by the 7th of March, which was the closing date. A total of 33 of those were actually approved for grant aid, and that money has been issued or is being issued to those people. So, I mean, that record in itself is very good.
Oh, that's the good news. That's absolutely the good news side of the picture, and credit should be given to you and the department for that. The other side of the picture, though, is Thomas O'Connor in Tralee, a man whom you know, whom you've talked to, small producer, great little business for the last 19 years. He took one look at this scheme, he was telling me, and he decided that it would be easier to go and crowdfund the money than get it from the department.
The scheme that was opened up wasn't really applicable to us because the scale we were looking for support under 7,500. We'd have been required to get planning permission, and we'd have had to... it wouldn't be allowed for repairs. There would have to be a new structure.
So how did it feel then to effectively have to rely on the charity of strangers in order to rebuild?
Yeah, it was kind of depressing. So it was. But yeah, it was kind of depressing. It was depressing that we're 19 years in the business and an event like this happened, and then that we weren't able to replace the tunnel ourselves.
Easier to ask friends and neighbours for a dig out than to ask the department for support. That's not a great comment, is it?
But the very point that Tom made there is completely outside of my control. And Tom does excellent work and is an excellent producer. But the fact that the works required planning permission, that's hardly my fault or the fault of the department. All I could do was open a scheme that would operate quickly to give money out quickly to people who are eligible under the terms. Now, if work required planning permission, you know that planning permission for anything takes 8 weeks, a further 4 weeks if people want the opportunity to object. So that's a 3 month period. That would have, like, that is completely outside
of
my
control. But you also know, Minister, that many people were allowed to put those polytunnels in without planning permission. So then to require them to get planning permission in order to get a little bit of grant relief to rebuild, that was an unnecessary piece of bureaucracy, wasn't it?
But, Philip, it was bureaucracy that I didn't place in front of Tom. Tom said himself that the works required planning permission.
But you could have removed it.
I could have removed it. Well, I don't think under the actual laws that are there present and the legislation that's there, I don't think I could do that.
Okay.
We have an excellent minister with responsibility for planning and a planning department, but my functions don't go into planning. But you would imagine, though, on the other side of this story, Philip, you would imagine that anything to do with agriculture or horticulture, you would imagine that what you just said is correct. But I'm only taking what Tom said himself, and unless you know the actual situation on the ground, you can't talk about another person's business without knowing exactly what was being proposed. But you would imagine that anything to do with those issues would be exempt of planning. But unfortunately, again, there were terms and conditions, and I'm extremely sorry, because I would have only loved to have seen Tom and every other person that wasn't eligible being eligible, but all I could do was deal with the eligible applications and grant them, and I did that, and we did it in
you
a timely fashion.
You did, 33 of the 37 that you received, as you said. Look, big picture question to you, Minister, before we finish. For Ireland's food security, you need to attract people to the horticulture sector. For a plethora of environmental reasons, you also need to attract people to planting forestry. Do you accept that the shaky response of your department to Storm Éowyn might have knocked confidence in both of these areas of your portfolio?
Well, first of all, now, I'm going to take grave exception to what you just said. And I'm not going to allow you get away with saying it. And I would go so far as saying, what planet are you living in to call my response shaky? This response from me and my department has been extremely sure-footed. We set up a task force. We brought together all the stakeholders from all over. We've renewed a confidence in forestry that was never there before in the middle of a situation where 2.5 years' worth of timber fell on the ground in one night. And at the same time, we're turning everything around. And what I'm going to remind you about, in case you don't know about it, this year, the total hectares planted and paid in 2025 are nearly double those in 2024. There have been 1,965 hectares of new forest planted and paid to the 22nd of August, and there are another 778 hectares committed. Therefore, this is 2,743 hectares paid or due to be claimed. And there is also another 4,500 hectares approved for planting.
Okay.
And I'm contacting those people at present, asking them and trying to
advise them. And you know what? I'm not going to fall out with you over the use of the word shaky.
I'm going to allow me the opportunity to answer you back when you said a shaky start, because that's very unfair to people who are working diligently.
Yes, and there are many people who have
and
paid
I'd like
credit.
You to recognise
There are many people who have paid credit to you, Minister, and what it is that you have done, but I am also, when I use a word like shaky, just reporting to you what other growers and what other foresters have said to me about their feelings about the response of the department. But thank you very much for coming in to Ballyvournia and talking to us this morning, Minister Michael Healy-Ray.